Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Doug Field, CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. I hope everyone in the storm area is hunkered down and safe. Gives you quality time to listen to here at Healthcare Consumerism Radio. We even here in Atlanta have a skeleton team in studio today. Jonathan Field, producer, and I are here. Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, so it's icy snow day here in Atlanta. Going to get worse, and I think the rest of the country. So everyone be safe. But we got a great program today. We're going to have two guests on our program today. We're going to start off at around 11:10 with Dr. Stephen Wiley, who has created a U+ health app, a mobile health app that allows you to measure your activity, your nutrition, and your sleep, and more. So interesting to see what Dr. Willie has to say. Then Eric Grossman, CEO of Next Health Technology, will join us. And Eric is has created a predictive analytical company specifically geared to help consumers really make smart choices on their healthcare. So we look forward to having Eric and Dr. Willie with us a little later. Jonathan, we had some announcements come out this week or so. Accenture came out with a report on exchange growth. You know, and you know, we grew to 8 million plan participants. Maybe a little slower than, you know, everyone had predicted, but still pretty positive growth.
Yeah, you know, 8 million. It's up 35% from last year. Most of the growth, you know, middle market, which is, you know, in line with what a lot of people thought. You see some headlines out there focusing on the lack of, you know, blue chip enterprise, you know, jumbo Fortune 500 moving. But if you follow the last several reports that Accenture has been doing, you know, going back to 2014, they actually predicted that this year's uptick would be with the middle market.
Yeah, I think it, and you know, we've talked about this on programs before. We talk about it throughout our contact and our events. It's, you know, there's a logic to that too. There's, you know, that mid-market needs help. They need to bend the cost curve. They need to provide, you know, choice benefit plans. They need to, you know, manage their administrative resources better. So it just makes logical sense. And the upstream companies, you know, have a longer-term, you know, planning cycle anyway. And I think we just had a large employer on the phone yesterday as an example who is serious about exchanges but is going to take this year to kind of wait and see what happens with election and the ACA. You know, smaller, kind of mid-sized companies can't afford to wait. They need to move and, you know, and make some of these changes. And I think the market's going to be surprised by some large employers, too. I think you're going to see some large employers, you know, adopt exchanges. And when they do that, I think those in that vertical sector are going to probably aggressively step up and do the same. In fact, Jonathan, that's kind of the theme for our Dallas event coming up, is that if you're trying to figure out who's moving where, who's doing what, and evaluating exchanges, you know, come to our Dallas event the 23rd and 24th of next month, February.
Yeah, we're just, let's see, we've got a timer on our new website. If you haven't seen our new page, we have completely redesigned websites for both our Dallas event and Atlanta. Let's see, so we are 31 days and 20 hours and 25 minutes away from Private Exchange Forum.
So you still got time to join us there. And
yep, we have you know, early bird rates. So it starts at $295 if you're a nonprofit employer, government employer. Those go through, you know, a little more than a week to go. We are ending those on February 1st, which is not this Monday, but the following Monday. You'll have that whole day. We'll send out a reminder for you then. Register early bird rates. If you are listening and you are an employer, if you're a HR benefit decision maker, we still have a few more employer VIP passes If you go to our new website, just drag your cursor over the register button on the top right. You'll see Employer VIP. It's just a quick, simple form that you have to fill out with your name, your email address, and your company name. And as soon as we verify that information, we'll send you your email, your registration confirmation.
And that allows you to come to our event free.
Completely free.
Yep. We're very committed to help employers that need to be in the know, that need to be in the discussion, that want to try to figure out what's working, what's not, who's doing what, be able to dialogue with the consultants and brokers, advisors, and the health plans and TPAs and the other expert leading exchanges and, solution providers that are there. So, as Jonathan said, if you are an employer, we welcome you. And this will happen to all of our events, too. We're very committed to helping employers get in the know and join us at our events and join us in our web community. So, we're building a nice group to be in Dallas, and we look forward to having everyone with us. So, again, 31 days and how many minutes now?
I don't know, a minute, 20 hours.
20 hours.
31 days, 20 hours.
So, and you can find our website, Jonathan, where?
Private Exchange Forum works. PrivateExchangeForum.com will redirect you right there. TheICCForum.com, another way to get there. And, of course, you can always just go to our primary website for the Institute, just TheICC.com, and, just a quick click on the events tab there will get you.
And our registration is open for our major big event. Our IHC Forum and Expo will be this May 25th through 26th in Atlanta. And for our listeners out there that may have some content program ideas, now's the time to get them to us. You can send them directly to Jonathan, myself, or Eric Lucey, our program manager, ELUCEY at theihcc.com. We're open to those program ideas for not only Atlanta, but our exchange event in Baltimore and our West Coast event coming up in November. We'll have a big focus here in Atlanta on wellness. We're pretty excited about a group here in Atlanta that represents 30 to 50 of the largest companies in the greater Atlanta area have come on board with us and are going to be producing our opening keynote, where they're going to be, sharing with the nationwide audience attending our event on what greater Atlanta companies are doing now around wellness and total well-being and what they see coming next. So big footprint on wellness, this event, as it should be. But we'll cover everything, including exchanges. It's a big part on exchanges. So if you haven't looked at our new website, as Jonathan alluded to, you can not only access Private Exchange Forum, but you can access the website for IHC Forum and Expo. And our Super Saver rates are open right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're, maybe 5 months out from that event now. It's taking place the third week of May, here in our backyard at Cobb Galleria Center. But we do have the $99 rates right now, and those go through, the week after Private Exchange Forum Dallas. So, you pretty much have until the end of February. And, if you're planning on being at the event in, here in Atlanta, it's definitely to your benefit to register early. I know we're just getting started on the program at this point, but we do already have a lot of great employers, including David Hines with Metro Nashville Schools. We have Margie Rodino with Sloan Valve. As you alluded to, we have the wellness group here in Atlanta.
That will represent companies like Chick-fil-A.
Sure, yeah, and Larry Boris and Margaret at the Midwest Business Group on Health, they always do a great job helping us secure major employers from the Midwest to talk about their benefit strategies. So, Eric Lucey, our program, manager, conference program manager, he's doing a fantastic job securing all of these employers. We're going to have a very, very employer-heavy program. A lot of, real innovative HR people, benefits people from various size companies and industries. We have Jen Forster. She's with Buffalo Exchange. A little smaller employer, probably close to 1,000 lives. Retail.
But very innovative.
Very innovative with what they do. So again, you know, I definitely want to stress the $99 rates if you're a broker, if you're a consultant, if you're an HR director yourself. And again, we are accepting proposals, speaking proposals, elucey@theicc.com. That's elucey@theicc.com. Send in your speaker proposals. We'll be considering those throughout the end of this month and the beginning of next month.
And as we wait for our first guest, Jonathan, we're going to talk about millennials in private exchange form, but we're doing a unique general session in Atlanta around millennials.
Yeah, that's true. You know, largest, I think it was the Pew Center research last year. Now millennials are the largest workforce segment demographic. So, you know, whether you're a wellness company, an HSA company, a health plan, if we're talking about engagement, which is what it's all about, you know, you're going to have to know how to best address that market segment.
Yep. All right. Well, again, it's that $99 rate on IHC Forum and Expo and early bird rate on Private Exchange Forum. I'd like to take this moment now and welcome our first guest, Dr. Stephen Willey, founder of U Plus Health. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're great. How is it out in Missouri? You getting hit by some of the snow?
Actually, it's sunny in mid-20s right now, so we're pretty happy.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we're in Atlanta, Georgia, and this town gets a little scary at times. So we're gonna get locked up here, I think, in the next couple hours. So it's I think this major storm is gonna inch its way down here. But anyway, enough about the storm. Tell us about what you're doing with U Plus Health. You're doing some interesting things with this happening. You know, tell our audience more about who you are and what you're doing.
Well, I'm a practicing physician for over 20 years. I did my medical school at Northwestern and all my postgraduate medical training at Stanford. And coming into practice, it didn't really take long before you realize there's so many things that happen to people that just never had to happen to people. But there's just not a lot of mechanisms out there to keep people healthy, to make at-risk people healthier, and to prevent all the sort of things that we all want to prevent, let alone feeling better and looking better now. And so part of the mission was to find out, what does the data really say? What is reality? You know, what is not charlatanism, but what is fact? And so, you know, working with a team of behavioral psychologists and other physicians, and MIT-trained engineers, we came up with U Plus Health, which is very different in the sense that we're not a calculator, counter, or tracker solely. We take information and actually make it doable, meaningful, sustainable, and actionable on an individual basis. We understand that there are some folks whose, you know, just getting them to walk 5 minutes a few times a day is a victory. There's also people ready for full-on personal training. There's people who are really ready to change their diet. There's other people who are just eating better at a fast food restaurant as a victory. And so we wanted to take a system that can conform to every single individual and then help them to achieve whatever that person's maximal and doable potential is.
And doctor, you talk about
areas of fitness, nutrition, and sleep. But the other really important thing is those things aren't three silos. The data really says that what you do in one area really affects what you need to do in the other areas to be most effective. And so that's, you know, part of the approach we take as well.
Is this, doctor, is this what you talk about as around contextual health? I mean, explain that to our audience.
Contextual health is really, again, what makes us different, in my opinion. Have you ever bought something for your kid as a gift? And you have to put it together. We all know the nightmare of how that can feel sometimes. But let's say you took the box, you dumped all the parts of the box out onto the floor. That's kind of what data is. It's all the information. It's everything, you know, that people may or may not want. But what do you do with it? Contextual health is like the instructions that would go to that toy that you jumped out on the floor and had to put together. Data is good. It's exciting in the beginning, how many steps you did or whatnot. But then we know from all the information about what really makes people healthy, we need to do more than that. We need to actually make it meaningful to, A, each individual and what their particular life situation is, but, B, also make it actionable where you actually know what to do about it. There are lots of things out there that may say, hey, you slept 4 hours and 59 minutes last night, so sleep more tonight. That's great. Mm-hmm. But how? What in my life can I change? What in my life can I do to help make it better? And that's really what contextual health is, putting it into the individual's own sphere and make it actionable.
So doctor, this actually would tell me, let's say I'm not getting enough sleep. It's not just going to tell me that, but it's going to give me some suggestions on what I can change to improve my sleep better.
Exactly. And it's going to be things that really pertain to your life. Part of what we do is we simply ask you questions, one or two a day, oftentimes. And so it's very similar to what anybody would do as a practitioner in their office. I'll ask someone a question, they'll give me the answer, and then based on what the answer is, I'm going to give them the best possible advice that I can. And so sometimes just that simple of an interaction is something that's important, and that's also part of how we help you with that. Again, it's very quick, very easy, just a matter of seconds, you know, for the person to do. But exactly. Well, in that particular case, we may do something, say, with the person's pre-bed routine. Sometimes, you know what, they get up and, you know, they have the hall light on. And so, you know what, instead of the hall light, why don't you have a night light on out there if you have to go and, you know, take care of something in the other room, you know, if you have a child or something. So it can be even that specific to folks in terms of it, and that is a very simple, easy example. But sometimes the things are more complicated, sometimes they're that easy.
Yeah, so you've explained well that, you know, that your app is addressing a void, which means that we're not getting enough context around our health data at this point. What are the implications of people not being provided with proper context around their health data?
The implications are a continuation of what we've seen the last 50 years in terms of a failure of our country as a whole to get healthier. To really make the sort of progress that we need for all of us as individuals, but also as a society, to be able to be sustainable in terms of cost-wise, economic, and all the other implications that come along with it. I suppose to put it most simply, it's the implications are a continued lack of results.
So when you look at the employer market that represents, you know, 160 million plus plan participants and consumers, you know, how can employers integrate? And they're really trying to wrap their arms around doing wellness better. And I use that as a very general term. I mean, how can employers integrate contextual health into their health and wellness programs?
I think they need to have a structure in place for that to happen. U Plus Health, our program, we do that via an app in an integrated way. But they could also do it through various health coaches if they wanted to do it. But it has to be more than just data. And, you know, saying you walked X amount of steps, you slept X amount of hours, we had you go get these labs, and it showed this, go see your health provider. It has to be more, again, to the person's own life, and every employee is different. The person, you know, at one part of the company may be different, the other may be different in the cubicle next to each other. And I think that until there's a mechanism in place to recognize the individuality that people have, we're not going to be able to do as well as we can do.
Can this work in conjunction with some of the wearable programs out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because, again, I'm not anti-data at all.
No,
what I am is take the data and make it useful, make it actionable. And so data is good. We will be integrating with the Fitbit and Jawbone and all the other, you know, sort of devices. But again, we put that into context and to really get what the data says is the best way per unit time to get results. And it is true that in the medical literature, there are things that are more effective per unit time than others. And let's face it, you know, in terms of employees, we're only going to be able to get so much time in terms of getting them to do what everyone would like them to do. And so why not get the most bang for the buck for the time that you do get? And that's a big part of contextual health as well.
Right. So what's your current business model for the app?
Our current business model is right now that we're a free app. We're focusing on consumers because I think in, whether it's from employers, whether it's from physicians recommending to their patients, which are all avenues that is part of our business model, ultimately, if the consumer is not happy, if the consumer is not engaged and not using it, it doesn't matter. And so, you know, a lot of philosophy has been start B2B first and then think about the consumer. We're doing the exact opposite way. We're starting with the consumer initially and then going more of the B2B model. So we've listened to around, you know, 25,000 beta users and have really learned a lot. You have to listen. And the algorithms to do all those things that I mentioned to you are not easy. I mean, these MIT guys are pretty smart guys, but nonetheless, it takes them some time to do that. And so we're honing that in, and our go-to-market product that is really the development of all those things in the next month or so, we're very, very proud of. We love our beta, but we've got so many better things coming.
When did you first introduce this app?
It first came out in beta form, in the term that you would get out there now, probably in about August or September.
In terms
of this particular version, you know, we had some very rudimentary versions out first, simply to tinker with. But in terms of actually letting anyone see it or use it, has been again just in the last 4 or 5 months or so. And we are really right now, we've got those numbers pretty much on word of mouth. People like it. People tell their friends, and so that's something else we're really excited to see, because ultimately, the consumer is king. And if the employer wants to give it to their employee, the person has to like it. And so that's really, again, what we're doing, you know, the opposite of what so many have done, starting with consumer first, getting it where we are happy with it, and then going more the B2B and physician distributed model. And as a physician, I can tell you, it's to have something that's trusted, that's peer-reviewed. And by the way, we just had our initial pilot study published in a peer-reviewed medical journal, basically a good place to be for a mobile health product. And we had fantastic results that are actually published. So I think that's the other thing that we really want to distinguish ourselves, that we really are evidence-based. And again, that's anyone who's a scientist knows that's an incremental process. And you can't just do a rush to market. You have to do it right. And so that's why we've taken our time getting to where we are. But now that we're just about there, we just couldn't be more excited.
No, that's great. And Dr. Anyone can find this on the App Store, is that correct?
Yes. But again, what they're going to see now is our beta version be very different in a month or so from now. But on the App Store, it would be U+, all one word, YOUPLUS, then Health, or Google Play. And on our website, it's again U+, all one word, .com, and they can find out a lot more from that aspect of our website, uplus.com as well.
Well, that's fantastic. I like what you're doing. I'll actually go download it later this weekend.
A passion of our team, and this whole thing was really born of a passion to change things. You know, just as a physician, you know, you young doctor going to the emergency room, you have the 45-year-old patient who passed away from a heart attack, and the person's family there obviously distraught and terrible, and those things just don't have to happen. And so it was really a desire to change things for the better, and a passion which led to this whole project, which, again, just for the team, has made it so meaningful.
Well, Doctor, we really appreciate you joining us on the program. You've got about 30 seconds to go, and we'll give you an opportunity to leave our audience with one or two takeaways, if you would, please.
I think takeaway number one is context. Throwing all the parts of the toy on the floor, but the instructions to put it together is really what you need. You need to have something that's individualized that can coach each person from wherever they are and meet them wherever they are to whatever that person's potential is. And I think it's also important to know that fitness, nutrition, and sleep really integrate within each other. And looking at each of them as three silos is also doomed to not be as effective as understanding how all three of them integrate together.
Fantastic. Dr. Willie, appreciate you joining us on the program today, and let's stay in touch. We'd love to follow the continued evolution of the U+ Health app. And you have a great weekend, okay?
Well, thank you very much, Megan. Greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care. Very innovative. I mean, I like what he's talking about, that, you know, contextual health, that, you know, we all wear our wearables and it's telling us how many steps or how much sleep. Mm-hmm. He's taking it the next step and can integrate, as he's talking about, with these wearables to say, okay, you know, you're not making as many steps as you need to make, and here's some ideas on what you can do.
Right.
Or, hey, it's showing you you're averaging 80% of your required sleep. Here's some
mm-hmm.
suggestions on what you know what you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely think that's the next step off, you know, just some of the raw data. Definitely, you know, great product, it sounds like. And, you know, I definitely agree with the strategy that they have of, you know, seeing if it catches on with consumers outside of a corporate environment. And, you know, we're seeing more and more, you know, digital health companies pursuing that route. And it makes a lot of sense, you know, if you're talking about, you know, the end goal, again, is engagement. You want people to use it, you know, if they're going to use it because it's, you know, a naturally user-friendly app that, you know, it's designed in an engaging manner,
mm-hmm.
That's a great first step to have. And also the fact that they're, you know, going the evidence-based, you know, they're actually having it, you know, reviewed for outcomes in peer-to-peer journals,
yep.
You know, peer-reviewed journals. Yeah, sounds like they're on the right track there.
And I think your point about going to the consumer and then to B2B, you know, companies that take that approach too are going to have a much easier time in engaging the B2B market.
Yeah.
If I'm an employer and you're coming to me with an app and you can prove that consumers are using it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that I'm going to be able to integrate that into my program and get the type of engagement that I need to get, because that's a big struggle. We all know that's a big struggle, engagement,
right.
engagement. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Interesting stuff. And I'm just amazed at the continuing innovation out of there and, the you know, where you find this pocket of innovation taking place. Here's a, you know, a doctor that has a big passion for this and has identified this niche. And, you know, we're going to hear our next guest talk about a niche that he's identified too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I don't want to keep harping back to our events, but that's the heart and soul of our events, too, bringing this innovation to bear and getting discussions happening around these events, you know, or within that program and around these events. And to anyone listening out there who has innovation and wants it showcased, you know, they should send it to us for coverage, you know, in the content, Jonathan, that you do and you and your team do on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear any, you know, article ideas. We're always looking for pitches. Actually, both of our guests on the program today, we recently published an article for our upcoming guest, you know, Eric Grossman with Next Health. Actually, a very interesting case study that he's going to be talking about today, where they, you know, looked at this, you know, Medicaid population at a health plan, I believe it was in Colorado, reducing emergency room overutilization. We actually have Dr. Willie from our first segment. He penned an article that we'll be publishing in our Q1 issue, which will print, I think it's the 11th of February, early February,
mm-hmm.
just in time to be hot off the press for Private Exchange Forum. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to, you know, connect with our audience, with your thought leadership. We, you know, publish, we're continually looking for articles for online and e-newsletter publication. Our e-newsletter goes out to a list of well over 30,000 benefits HR healthcare professionals right now. And then, of course, we also have good engagement on our Twitter and LinkedIn that we will also, you know, circulate any online article. And then, you know, right now we're also looking for, you know, pitches for our second quarter magazine. After Q1 will be a very special annual issue, the Healthcare Consumerism Outlook issue, which I would love to talk about if we had more time. It's, you know, kind of one of the high points of our editorial calendar, where we have these various non-vendor experts talk about those particular fields. After Q1, after Outlook, and we're currently taking pitches for Q2. And, of course, that will be the print issue that we bring to Forum and Expo. So again, you know, tying everything, you know, back into our flagship events, you know, any article in that will be, you know, we're going to have over 1,000 people at that event.
And what's our timing to open up Superstar this year and Innovator nomination?
Oh, right, yeah. So generally we do that March timeframe.
Okay.
You know, perhaps we'll open it in time for Private Exchange Forum. That would, you know, so no definitive timeline yet, but it's usually kind of a you know, early spring. And of course, if you go to our website and, you know, theicc.com, and you, you know, drag your mouse over the bar, the about bar, you'll see nominate a superstar.
Yep.
That's just the best place to keep checking. We'll share that on our, you know, social media and in an e-blast as soon as that is open.
That's where you can also go to scroll over our publications, and you can look at last year's outlook to get a handle on the type of product that you're going to be bringing to the market, you know, later this quarter.
Yeah, we do have, you know, about half of our contributors will be repeats, simply because, you know, in several areas, like, for example, Wendy Lynch, you know, in her research, Dr. Wendy Lynch, what she does at the Center for, you know, Consumer Choice and Healthcare Alterums around health engagement,
yep.
You know, she's definitely one of the singular voices out there. So we're very excited to have, you know, Wendy Lynch again. There we have you know, Hero, of
yep.
course, the experts at Hero that we rely on for so much of our, you know, collaborative information on population health management, you know, financial incentives for health. The Hero team will be penning the population health article. You know, we have invites out to other people like Larry Boris, you know, like Krista Drobeck.
Roy Rantham.
Yeah, of course, Roy, you know, one of the, you know, premier voices on health savings accounts.
And policy around health savings accounts.
Correct.
Very,
correct.
Very, one of the, looked at as one of the fathers of HSAs, actually, and with what he's done in the contribution to this space. So, again, check out our website, the IHCC.com, where you can find information on these articles. And also I would ask you to scroll over and check out the IHC University, where we're going to be doing a lot of work over the next 30, 60 days and building out the university. And right now there's a lot of content there. There's all our videos from all our past events that you can showcase there. So if you want to get a feel about what we do with our events and the type of discussions and experts that we bring to our events, that's a great way to get an understanding of what you can expect to experience at either our Private Exchange Forums or our IHC Forum events. You can also access our certification course that is becoming very popular right now since healthcare consumers have moved to the forefront. So you can access our course materials and videos around certification. And if you decide to take it, then you can access the online test to become certified in healthcare consumerism. And it's a very modest tuition fee, I'll use that phrase, to the university as an IHC insider, $99 on an annual basis.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Ron Bachman, who is the heart and soul, of course, of the IHC University content, you know, formerly with PricewaterhouseCoopers, Ron will be presenting the IHC University course on healthcare consumerism next month. So if you're going to be in Dallas for Private Exchange Forum, that's going to be on Tuesday, February 23rd. And we actually, you know, in addition to Ron, of course, who's the foundation for so much of what we do around the expert content, Don Cooper, we have to, you know, mention Don. And Don's right there in Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's the president of Triflex Corporation, you know, broker with years and years of you know, expertise implementing healthcare consumerism strategies for clients. Just go to our new website, theiccforum.com/16Dallas. Get to that new, very clean, you know, design that we have. It's
scroll over the agenda tab, pre-conference courses, you can register right there. Ron will walk you through the five generations of healthcare consumerism, which is, you know, really the foundation of so much of what we do. It's, you know, definitely very, you know, forward thinking that Ron actually put that together over a decade ago, and looking back on how much of that has taken place exactly as he had thought that it would, according to his model. And of course, you know, he of course updates it as various innovations come into the market, but check it out.
Yeah, it's interesting. So theihcc.com, and I'd like to welcome our next guest on the program. Bringing on is Eric Grossman, CEO of Next Health Technologies. Eric, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. Honored to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you on, Eric. Good to talk to you again. Give our audience a little background, not only on yourself, but on Next Health Technologies, please.
Great. Good morning. It's Eric Grossman. I'm the CEO of Next Health Technologies. By way of brief background, prior to founding Next Health, I led corporate strategy at TriZetto, and then prior to that, I was the CEO and founder of Connecture, a sales automation vendor in the health insurance sector. And as far as Next Health, we're a big data analytics platform company helping and driving consumers to make better healthcare choices. We've been around 2.5 years, and we're moving the needle on outcomes in the market.
Yeah, tell us how you're doing that, Eric. Tell us your model and how you're doing that. Because I mean, there's a lot of companies out there saying they specialize in analytics or population health or consumer engagement. So tell us your unique footprint and how you're getting that done.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of rare air in terms of being able to move the needle on consumering. We've been able to do it in lower income populations, specifically the Medicaid market, where we've taken 1 in 4 people out of the emergency room who otherwise shouldn't have been there. And that translates into some pretty significant claim savings in the market. And for these folks, we're doing really three big things, all with big data and analytics at the heart of what we do. The first thing is it's better targeting. We're finding folks who shouldn't be there in the first place and are also impactable for things like stomach aches and sunburn for mothers with children who are going after 5 because they can't get an appointment and they're not aware of alternative care settings. The second thing we're doing is actually reaching out to them with personalized nudges. And a nudge is a behavioral economic frame where we're serving up lower cost alternatives, like, for example, nurse advice lines, urgent care centers, flu shots, just ways of getting them into the healthcare ecosystem so they're educated on alternatives to the ER. And then third, probably the most important thing we're doing is we find out what's working for whom, and we amplify that. We turn off the things that are not. We use what's called a randomized control trial to do that. And the result of those three things are outcomes. And that's a pretty, like I said, a pretty rare error in the market right now.
So sorry, could you know, kind of simplify it for myself and the audience is that, you know, what you're alluding to is that we consumers, the large sector, have this habit of thinking the emergency room is the only option, correct?
Correct.
You know, the emergency, so you're bringing to we, the consumer, the alternative that can allow us to make a better decision for ourselves and our family. Am I understanding that correctly?
To the right consumer. You know, if you can only make one call and you have 10 people to choose from, who do you make that call to? In a resource-constrained environment. And, the billboards are all out there, right? You know, no wait time. But the reality is that's to see the receptionist. That's not to see a doctor. And on average, it's about $1,000 versus about $100 if you go to your PCP for a stomach ache. And you don't even have to go to your PCP. There's telemedicine. There's nurse advice line. You know, we all have a part to play in lowering healthcare costs.
So talk a little bit about, because a lot's talked about in this space too, about behavioral economics, and talk about how that applies to your model, if you would.
Yeah, you know, for the most part, you know, there are a lot of predictive analytics companies who send a list into a health plan of high-risk members. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of wood to cut between a list of high-risk members and a behavior change. And what we find and borrowed from other industries is that behavioral economics, which are basically carefully crafted words personalized to the member, make a difference. And, for example, we all get our energy reports in Colorado. It's Xcel Energy. They compare us, compare Eric Grossman's use to my neighbors and say how energy efficient I am, and here's steps to take. That's called a social frame. And when you compare people to like you, it's powerful. And we use that same type of behavioral economics to nudge a mother to get her kid's flu shot. And it just so happens that mother has children who are super utilizers in the ER, but by nudging them to get a flu shot, we're getting her into the healthcare ecosystem at a lower cost to the market.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What is your current business model, Eric?
Sure, great question. You know, we're very different than most because we put a significant portion, almost all of our profit, into percentage of savings. So we put our fees at risk, and they're aligned around our health plans or at-risk hospitals to make sure if we're successful, they're successful, and vice versa. We're not just selling an implementation or a software fee.
Mm-hmm. So who's your primary? So you're looking to integrate and with health plans and hospital systems. Is that, you know, what's your distribution, current distribution channels right now?
Right. We primarily target almost 100% any risk-bearing entity.
Okay,
and
got it.
That's typically a health plan or an integrated delivery and financing system hospital that owns a health plan.
Mm-hmm. So how about the employer market? Because their hair's on fire right now to look for alternatives to, you know, help them bend the cost curve. You know, majority of them are self-funded out there.
Sure.
Help the cost curve, but also to provide better tools, you know, health literacy and better decision tools to their employees and their families, the consumers. So what about, talk about the employer market a little bit.
Right. I mean, as you know, 300 million Americans, it breaks down into a lot of different lines of business. And as a relatively early stage company, there's only so many markets we can pursue.
Sure.
But the employer market is a market that we're servicing through our Blues customers and national accounts that have what's called administrative services accounts. So we have a very large group of retail chains that we're currently servicing, and being able to make a significant impact specifically on emergency room use of their employees around the U.S. So we're all feeling the pain. You know, the employer market has a special advantage. They have all the email addresses of their employees and all the telephone numbers. So it's a great market for us that we're very open to pursuing. And also they have a longitudinal history of their member. You know, that's a little bit different when you go into a hospital where they only have the claim if you went to their facility. So an employer and a health plan have very strong data sets that are available to a company like Next Health.
Yeah, I think, you know, employers listening to this program or that will listen to future podcasts should consult their health plan about your solution and saying, hey, are you aware of this? Are you using it? Because it makes a lot of sense on the piece of the puzzle that it, you know, fits and helps solve as we're trying to, you know, not only bend the cost curve but provide better care and alternatives to, you know, the consumers out there.
Can we use that as our motto? It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you sure can.
We'll spell it literally.
You would like that, huh?
C-E-N-T-S.
Yeah. Eric, talk a little bit about, you know, the ER, but your model can apply to, I mean, you know, we have a big problem without a network utilization. Can it apply to that to help, you know, solve that problem?
Yes. You know, underneath all this is that you have a solution partner that can scale to support other business problems. And given that we have an open source, cost-effective platform. We host it in Azure and a very extensible data management infrastructure. We've been able to extend the solution to 30-plus other use cases. And at an existing account, we can launch a new clinical program in as little as 10 days. That has to do with a lot of the investment we made in MongoDB and Python. But yes, we're currently solving for out-of-network utilization as well as exchange population risk reduction. And that out-of-network use case is a big problem in the U.S. with ACA plans. You know, a lot of people buy on price, and they don't realize that there's a narrow network. So we educate members on, you know, the cost differential and in-network alternatives that are available to them using that same sort of nudge approach.
So this is touching on, you know, as we kind of move to close this program over the next couple of minutes, I'd like you to really talk about, and this is one of them, some of the challenges you see healthcare executives facing as we move to value-based care and the rise of consumerism.
I'm sorry, you kind of faded out. Say that question again.
Yeah, I mean, you were just alluding to one of the challenges that healthcare executives face as we move to more value-based care and the rise of consumerism. What are other challenges that you see that the healthcare, you know, market is going to face?
I guess I would leave the market with a challenge, is that, you know, orchestrating consumer behavior change is very difficult. And if you try and solve for a capability or a functional implementation, it's a long way off from a behavior change. And where we've had success and we'd advise the market is that solve for a business problem and orchestrate technology around it versus the other way around. I think that's probably the biggest lesson learned in my career is don't sell capability, sell an outcome.
Yep. That's interesting. Eric, it's been great having you on the program, and I want to allow you a minute or so to kind of recap, you know, this discussion and leave our audience with, you know, a few takeaways, if you would, please.
Sure. You know, my biggest takeaways in the industry is that, you know, we are being compared to Zappos and Amazon and overnight delivery and that frictionless experience. And customers and consumers have access to big data. They know what experience they want, and now they can vote with their wallet. They can move. They can go to different health plans. And our industry has to do a better job about using all their resources effectively to deliver that frictionless experience. And, you know, Next Health is a good example of a company that's been able to do that. We focused on emergency room reduction, and these people are eager to have a seamless experience, and they appreciate it. They appreciate not having to wait in the ER and you know, park and do all that stuff. There are lots of alternatives that are available to them. You just have to target them better, find impactable members, personalize your engagement, and most importantly, you have to be able to measure and amplify those signals, because you only have so many calls you can make in a day. It's entirely achievable. You just got to make the right no-regret investments.
That's great, Eric. And tell our audience how they can connect with you.
Sure. The best way to get in touch with us is go to our website, www.nexthealthtechnologies.com, and we'd love to hear about your challenges and see if it's something we can help with.
Eric, thank you so much. Enjoyed the discussion. Thank you for taking the time. Have a great weekend.
You too. Vote for the Broncos.
There you go. I am pulling for Broncos. There you go. Take care.
Take care.
Done some good stuff. To our audience out there, I really appreciate you joining us today. Reminder, as Jonathan said earlier, go to our website, privateexchangeforum.com. Check out early bird rates for privateexchangeforum.com. While you're on the site, you can see information about IHC Forum and Expo in Atlanta. All of you in this storm, you know, front, stay safe, stay warm, and we'll see you next Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.